Hello, it's the Ghost. Great to see you back here for another listen. Today, I want to talk about exorcisms. Now, a lot of times we talk about the craziest exorcism we've ever heard of and what inspired a movie. But what is really the truth about exorcisms and demonic possession? Let's dive into today the facts and the fiction about all of this. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me The Ghost, A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. Secondly, we have They Call Me The Ghost, and that is where I, the ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences. And don't forget to check out our podcast. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, and you like them in story format, that's what we do here, and you're in the right place. Okay, let's get back to it. Exorcisms, the facts and the fiction about demonic possession. The belief that demons exist and can possess people is, of course, the stuff of fiction and our beloved horror films. But it's also one of the most widely held religious beliefs in the world. So let's keep sight of that. Most religions claim that humans can be possessed by demonic spirits. The Bible, for example, recounts 6 instances of Jesus casting out demons and offer exorcisms to remedy this threat. The idea that invading spirits are inherently evil is largely a Judeo-Christian concept. Many religions and belief systems accept possession by both beneficent and malevolent entities for short periods of time as uncommon and not especially alarming aspects of spiritual life. Spiritualism, a religion that flourished across America back in the 1800s, is still practiced in a few places today, teaches that death is an illusion, and that spirits can possess humans. New Agers have also long embraced a form of possession called channeling, in which spirits of the dead are said to inhabit a medium's body and communicate through them. Hundreds of books, and even some symphonies, have been allegedly composed by spirits. But so where do the facts versus fiction kick in? Right? Where is that line? Well, Hollywood, of course, has always been eager to capitalize on the public's continued fascination with exorcisms and demonic possession, with films often dubbed based on a true story. Which, if you know anything about Hollywood, they really don't need a whole lot of truth to base something on a true story. So keep that in mind. There are countless exorcism-inspired films, including The Last Exorcism, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Devil Inside, The Rite. I could go on. These movies widely varying in quality, originality, scariness. The greatest cultural influence, of course, came from the classic The Exorcist. In the weeks after this film came out, that was in 1974, a Boston Catholic center received daily requests for exorcisms. So now, is that what we'd call a fad? Well, the script for The Exorcist was written by a William Peter Blatty, adapted from his best-selling 1971 novel of the same name. So that's great for William. Blatty described the inspiration for the film as a Washington Post article that he'd read in 1949 about a Maryland boy who had been exorcised. Blatty believed, or he claimed to believe, that it was an accurate account, though later research revealed the story had been sensationalized and was far from credible. And we have to remember that about Hollywood. They're going to take something and they need the scare factor. So whatever it takes to get you there, you can believe it's true or not, as long as you're scared and come back for more. A Michael Caneo in his book, American Exorcisms, Expelling Demons in the Land of Plenty, credits Blatty and The Exorcist with much of the modern-day interest in exorcism overall. As for historical accuracy, though, Caneo characterizes Blatty's work as a massive structure of fantasy resting on a flimsy foundation of one priest's diary. See, not that much truth in a based-on-a-true story. There really was a boy who underwent an exorcism here, but virtually all of the gory and sensational details appearing in the book and film were widely exaggerated or actually completely made up. How about real exorcisms then? All right, so we have Hollywood, but what's happening in real life? While many Americans, you know, they're thinking of real exorcisms as the relics of the Dark Ages, a lot of us don't think of it as something we need today, right? We've outgrown all of that, or so we like to think, but exorcisms do continue to be performed today, and often on people who are emotionally and mentally disturbed. Is there a connection? And people wonder whether these people undergoing the exorcisms are truly possessed by spirits or demons. I mean, that's another matter entirely. Exorcisms are done on people of strong religious faith. To the extent that exorcisms work, it is due to the power of suggestion and psychology, some say. So basically, what some people say is that if you believe, just believe that you're possessed, then an exorcism might just cure you, if you believe it will. The word exorcism itself derives from the Greek word of exousia. As religious studies scholar James Lewis explains in his book, Satanism Today, to exorcise thus means something along the lines of placing the possessing spirit under oath, if you will, invoking a higher authority to compel the spirit rather than actually casting it out. This becomes clear when the demonic entity is commanded to leave the person, not by the authority of a priest, but instead, for example, in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, the Vatican first issued official guidelines on exorcisms back in 1614. That's a long ways back. And then it was revised in 1999. According to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, signs of demonic possession include things like superhuman strength, an aversion to holy water, and the ability to speak unknown languages. Other potential signs of demonic possession include spitting and cursing and things like that. Now, along with a handful of Vatican-sanctioned exorcists, there are also hundreds of self-styled exorcists around the world. Did you know that? After attending 50 exorcisms during research for his book, Michael Cuneo states that he never saw anything supernatural or unexplainable. There was no levitation or spinning heads or demonic scratch marks suddenly appearing on anyone's faces, but many emotionally troubled people on both sides of the ritual. So people are still disturbed. Something is going on. While most people do enjoy a scary movie, the belief in the literal reality of demons and the efficacy of exorcism can have deadly consequences. In 2003, there was an autistic 8-year-old, and he lived in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and he was actually killed during an exorcism by church members who were blaming an invading demon for his disability. In 2005, we have a young nun in Romania, and she died at the hands of a priest during an exorcism after being bound to a cross. She was also gagged and left for days without food or water in an effort to expel these demons. Another example of it not working out so well was Christmas Day 2010 in London, England. There was a 14-year-old boy named Christy Bamu, and he was beaten and drowned to death by his own relatives who were trying to exorcise an evil spirit from the boy. So again, rather than talk about, oh my gosh, what's the scariest exorcism movie out there? My bigger question today is, what do we think of exorcisms and demons altogether? Now, for me personally, real demons are real demons. You can't get away from them. There's nothing you can do about them. And in my opinion, I feel like all the movies, all the hype helps us sort of desensitize toward the entire situation, and therefore we are personally allowed to apply exorcism ideas and demonic ideas to other things going wrong. Sometimes I feel like it might be overused in situations where it's not exactly appropriate. What do you think? And thank you for listening today, Until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.